I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Chrysler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
Last week, Governor Phil Bryant of Mississippi identified the reason for a decline in child literacy and educational scores in America during the last several decades as the result of mothers entering the workforce. This insight so electrified the Republican base that the House Committee on What the Hell's Gotten Into Women These Days convened a panel of experts led by the governor to examine further the causes of modern social decline and upheaval. Speaker John Boehner presented its findings today.
The House Committee on What the Hell's Gotten Into Women These Days will come to order. Governor Bryant?
Our approach was to take 36 crises over the last 40 years and find their causes. Mr. Speaker, you'd help us move things along by reading the list. Our panel will respond.
All right, number one, the Cuban Missile Crisis.
After extensive analysis, we concluded that the world was brought to the brink of nuclear extinction by the increasing numbers of women entering the workforce.
Number two, Watergate.
Working mothers were behind the trumped-up charges that forced President Richard Nixon to resign.
Number three, the OPEC oil embargo.
Arab sympathizing working mothers.
Our humiliating defeat in Vietnam.
Jane Fonda-type working moms.
The Three Mile Island nuclear meltdown.
Working moms.
The Panama Canal giveaway.
Working moms.
The Cuyahoga River catching fire.
Working moms.
Cocaine, gay discos, Donna Summer.
Working moms.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg of New York has announced an ambitious $20 billion plan to protect the city from a repetition of the destruction caused by Tropical Storm Sandy last October.
Good day to you all. I, Michael, Mayor of New York, have formulated a plan to protect our great city for all time against the grave danger it faces from wind and wave. I will erect a mighty system of seawalls, artificial reefs, and ingenious levees around the five boroughs to combat another oceanic surge such as that caused by the devastating climatic event so absurdly misnamed Sandy.
Mr. Mayor.
I believe Your Honor is the proper form of address.
Okay, Your Honor, many climate change experts say that to fully protect people and property, walls and levees can't be the only reaction to rising sea levels. They say we shouldn't rebuild on beaches and low-lying areas, but retreat.
Never retreat. Never surrender. The sea is our servant, not our master. I, Michael, have spoken.
Are you seriously saying you can tell the sea what to do?
I am sending the sea a stern message backed by the limitless power of my office. In my lifetime, you shall not harm my people.
Your Honor, this mighty plan may protect the city in your lifetime, but what happens after that? The sea will eventually surge over these barriers.
The sea will never prevail.
How can you say never when you won't be around to see it?
Because when my life ends, so too will the sea, the sky, the oceans, the whole world, yea, the end of all things, of existence itself.
Yeah? Who says?
I do, Fred. This conference is now at an end. As usual, an untraceable antigen has been released into this room, creating antibodies that will erase all negative recall of my words and methods. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Jeez, Fred, how does he get away with it?
Get away with what?
With... I don't know.
Look, say what you like, Michael Bloomberg has been really great for New York City.
After all those racial issues with Dinkins and Giuliani, remember?
I think Stop and Frisk is actually cutting crime.
Wow, now that's pretty amazing coming from an African-American male.
I know, right?
Girls, that's not the way to win. You'd think that a human heart would break at such a display as this. But warm-hearted men with money at stake can turn into heartless, misbegotten misers. Now a strike isn't played like a tic-tac-toe, and soft-spoken tactics just don't go. Ladies, you got no...
The Final Edition presents What If Donald Trump Were Socrates? We take you to Greece in the year 408 BCE.
Donald, I pray thee explain. What is wisdom? Is it when we realize how little we understand about life, ourselves, and the world around us?
You are a total lightweight. Only a total lightweight would ask me that question. You are dumb, and you are stupid, and you are a lightweight.
Pray thee, Donald, you don't have to be a dick about it. Why do you sit in the public square begging for attention if you are just going to yell at people?
Listen, I don't have time for you. I have dinner reservations at 2 o'clock, and I gotta change my suit.
You're having dinner at 2 o'clock.
And then I'm having another dinner at 5, and I gotta change my suit for that. I am very important, and I wear many expensive suits.
And so his students walked away enlightened.
And now, yet another milestone in the long, lingering, all-too-inevitable demise of the New York Times.
Welcome to the first edition of P Magazine, the New York Times adult magazine, a natural evolution of the soon-to-be-defunct T Magazine, softcore maturing into harder, but not unacceptably hard, core. Erotica for discerning palates, lively minds and libidos with erudite sexual triggers. Even as the New York Times gracefully expires, P Magazine is born. Eros and Thanatos braided tastefully but provocatively together. Thrill discreetly to these uniquely New York Times features. An exchange of gourmet fluids by our accomplished venophile, Eric Hazimoff.
Venophiles agree. Different wines can profoundly affect the precious bodily fluids of lovemaking. His favorite tipple, a lusty 2001 Gigal Cote Roti, produces a pubic elixir quite different from that produced by her favorite, a diaphanous 99 Veuve Clicquot Grande Dame. He will taste flinty, smoky, with a tang of salt, meaty mouthfeel, top notes of asparagus and leather, long finish. She will have a floral, grassy nose with musky undertones, silky mouthfeel, lingering hints of raspberry and unagi. The lessons every venophile learns in wine school don't change whether it's wine you're tasting or a more fleshly delight. The six S's are still see, sniff, sip, suck, swirl, swallow. Keep a little pad beside your love bed for tasting notes.
For the emotionally needy, there's our neighborhood chance encounter service, courtesans near you.
On our romantic roster this week, at A. Karenina, Upper West Side, Radcliffe 01, at Clytemnestra, Morningside Heights, Oberlin 95. Don't worry, she won't be vengeful, unless you're very bad. Relish the unexpected? Try at George Eliot, Hastings on Hudson, Wellesley 05. Or for the discreetly adventurous, at Of Human Bondage, Williamsburg, MIT 09.
Our first edition of the New York Times P Magazine includes sedulously researched, in-depth articles of interest to the discerning sybarite. How Fair Trade Erotica Makes Masturbation Guilt-Free. The heart-wrenching predicament of pimps disintermediated by the internet. A sneak peek at Apple's new combination tablet and unisex vibrator, the iJack. Or, seek and ye shall find in our comprehensive P-Personals.
Adventurous Lacanian couple seek well-built younger person, male or female, to be the other. Must comprehend complex three-way interpersonal transactions in narcissism and aggressivity, and subtle changes in nonverbal subjugation. Extensive experience in Kundalini yoga or gymnastics, a distinct advantage.
Or simply accompany your Sunday brunch with a leisurely browse through our comprehensive New York Review of Boobs. The New York Times P Magazine, designed exclusively for our core readership.
The Iran hostage crisis,
Working Moms!
The attempt on Ronald Reagan's life.
Working Moms!
Boy George, George Michael, Marilyn Manson, Elton John.
Working Moms!
The savings and loan scandals.
Working Moms!
OJ's acquittal.
Working Moms!
Crack-related AIDS.
Working Moms!
This is the Dirty Dozens Tournament of Champions.
We are present at the Dirty Dozens game board where talking trash can get you cash, and you might be the champ if your mama's a tramp.
First question. How many terrorist threats have been thwarted by NSA surveillance? Jay Clapper.
Well, I can't answer that. It's classified, but it's in the dozens. Like your mama's so fat, I had to tap the whole area code.
Joe Dixon.
Your mom's so ugly, she broke Facebook.
Jay Clapper.
Your mama's feet are so big, the terrorists flew airliners into them.
Joe Dixon.
Your mom's so stupid, she thinks NSA is the first three letters of the alphabet.
That's all the time we have for tonight. Join us the next time on the Dirty Dozens.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Testing, testing. 1, 2, 1, 2. I'm so in love with you.
Barry?
Michelle?
Who are you talking to, Barry?
Nobody. Please, call me President of the United States Barack Obama.
But I always call you Barry. Barry?
You never know who might be listening, Michelle.
There's nobody listening. You're the president.
Of course not. Nobody's listening, and by nobody, I certainly don't mean a low-level NSA analyst who is tapping this call without authorization of the U.S. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court.
Barry, have you been sampling what's in the back of my organic garden?
Honey, you know it's been years since I was in the Choom Gang. Well, yeah, the stuff in the very back.
Well, while I have you on the line, can I go ahead and confirm lunch with the Bidens this Thursday at 12?
Honey, I told you I'm disappointing my base Thursday at 12.
Oh, yeah. What about at 1?
At 1, I'm not violating international airspace or international law by flying a drone into a country I can't disclose at this time.
Is it Yemen?
Michelle, please, don't name the countries I'm not flying drones into.
I told you on Monday. It's Thursday at 12.
Michelle, last Monday, on a call that began at 7:51 p.m. and ended at 8:03:30 p.m., you said, and I quote, muffled, I'd like to have lunch with the Bidens, but on a date of your choosing, end quote.
Where did you get that quote?
Well, I didn't mine data from the NSA, if that's what you mean.
And I suppose all of our phone conversations have been monitored?
No, honey. That would be just plain wrong. Only since 2009.
You're the first president to use the NSA to spy on his own wife?
You say that like it's an encroachment on your Fourth Amendment rights.
It is an encroachment on my Fourth Amendment rights.
Well, it's mild.
Encroachments can't be mild. What's next after mild? Spicy?
Don't be ridiculous. Everyone knows medium comes after mild.
Barry, you can't label your constitutional violations like salsa.
Why not? Is it trademarked? Guys, you want to look into this?
Would you stop talking to the NSA when I'm talking to you, Barack?
What's with the Barack all of a sudden?
My Barry would never act so much like George W. Bush.
I'm nothing like George W. Bush. I've expanded personal data collection way beyond what that guy ever did.
Your national security agency is like Big Brother meets Get Smart.
Michelle, please. I don't have a phone in my shoe.
Well, I need a cone of silence, and so does the United States.
Low-level operatives of the NSA, I'm sorry you had to hear that. I'd like to close this way. She's gone. Better look at her face and she's gone. Be the devil to her face and she's gone. She's gone, what went wrong?
She's gone. I better learn how to play. She's gone. She's gone. She's gone. I play the devil to the place. She's gone.
The Final Edition presents What if Donald Trump were Winston Churchill? We take you to London, 1941.
Donald, if you were my husband, I'd put poison in your tea.
Lady Astor, you are a complete loser, and you were not born with a brain. People should ignore you.
Really? That's your best comeback? Look, I say, if you were my husband, I'd put poison in your tea. And you say, if you were my wife, I would...
If you were my wife, I would tell you to leave immediately, because you are not attractive. I pity your whole family.
Okay, let's try another comeback. I say, Donald, you are drunk. Now you say, in the morning, I'll be sober, but...
But it saddens me that you are so pathetic, and you are stupid. You see, you cannot match wits with me, Lady Astor.
And indeed, she could not.
Alzheimer's, breast cancer, autism, lupus.
Working moms!
Bovine encephalitis or mad cow disease.
Working moms!
The Enron debacle and the fall of Arthur Anderson.
Working moms!
.com bubble.
Working moms!
9/11.
Working moms!
Non-existent weapons of mass destruction.
Working moms!
Fellow Americans, welcome to the radio. I am Stone White with the news. Very special program this evening. We're going to have America's number one investigative journalist, Peter Bastings, on with a story that's going to blow your mind. It turns out that the Pentagon has been spying on the NSA, and you're never going to believe what just leaked out. Peter Bastings will be joining us. He's running a little behind. And, oh, there he is. He just pulled into the parking lot. Stay tuned, and we'll be... Oh, jeez! What the... Ladies and gentlemen, Peter Bastings' car has just blown up in the parking lot with, the humanity. In our next story, students at Bumfinger High School in Puddle View, New York, are up in arms about a controversial new dress code that has parents and teachers alike scratching their heads and private parts while feral cats ravage the landscape in neighboring Farmville applications.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another exciting edition of
Name That Bullet!
I'm Harlan Hierson, and you all know my lovely assistant, Lori.
Hello again, boys. Fire 'em up!
You heard her, fellas. It's time to get started on
Name That Bullet!
Let's meet our current champion, Carl!
Carl hails from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. He's a lumberjack by trade, and he knits plaid shirts for the homeless on the weekends.
Carl, welcome back. You're our first ever returning champion. That's amazing. Do you think you can make it through to another round?
Well, I'm in a lot of pain, eh? But, you know, I lost a lot of blood yesterday, but I've got free medical if I make it back home, so... Bring it on.
Bring it on indeed. Lori?
Lori is attaching the blindfold to Carl's eyes. Now she's putting his hands behind his back. Leaning him against the wall, she's walking over to our table of guns. Selects her weapon.
Lori, you may fire at will. Or Carl, in this case. Ha 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 ha!
Ow!
10 seconds, Carl. Name that bullet.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I don't know, Canada. I don't...
5 seconds.
I don't know. A 45.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Right again. That was a 45 Colt. Great job, Carl. We'll bandage you up out back while we meet your first challenger, Shinjin.
Shinjin something or other used to live in a remote fishing village on the Japanese coast. He lost everything in the tsunami and nuclear meltdown, and after exhausting every other option, this is his only chance to provide for his ailing wife and 6 kids.
Shinjin, you seem nervous. Don't be. You can win.
Very honored to be here. I am nervous, but also confident that I can best the large Canadian.
Super! If you correctly identify this bullet, you'll join Carl for the next rounds. If not, well, then you've been shot for no reason whatsoever. Ha ha! Here we go. Lori.
Lori is putting on the blindfold. She moves the slight Shinjin into position. Now she selects her weapon.
Lori, you may fire at will. Or in this case, Shinjin! Ha ha ha! That never gets old. Good shooting, Lori! 10 seconds, Shinjin. 5 seconds!
What a PPK 9mm?
Are you sure?
Please! Help!
Oh, I'm sorry, that is incorrect. It was a 44 Magnum, which, as Dirty Harry said, can blow your head clean off. Shinjin, you could not name that bullet. Bang, bang, kapow, you're dead.
I have dishonored my...
Bang, bang, kapow, you're dead.
But my village...
I said, bang, bang, kapow, you're dead. Get him out of here. Okay. Audience, meet Caro's last challenger, Jacob.
Jacob is a werewolf from Forks, Washington. He loves Bella, is a rival to Edward, and is shackled in chains.
Jacob, hello! Or should I say, grrr? Very good. Lori, you know what to do.
Lori is trying to put on the blindfold. Jacob swipes at her. Lori rushes to the weapons table. Jacob breaks free from the chains. Our assistants run in with tasers. They're tragically mauled. Lori has her gun.
Lori, fire at will. Or in this case...
Uh-oh. Looks like that made Jacob mad. He's advancing on Lori. She selects another weapon.
Lori, you may...
Son of a bitch!
Okay, Jacob, you seem to be shrinking and getting hairless, but we need an answer. 10 seconds. Name that bullet. 5 seconds. Last chance, Jacob.
A silver bullet.
Oh, we would have indeed accepted silver bullet, but since you ran out of time and have transformed into a human, bang, bang, kapow, you're dead. So that means Carl is once again our winner. When we come back, we'll see if Carl can survive the machine gun round. Only on...
Name That Bullet!
Hurricane Katrina.
Working moms.
Abu Ghraib.
Working moms.
Pastor Ted's downfall.
Working moms.
Failure of the Oslo Accords.
Working moms.
Frequent nighttime urination.
Working moms!
This episode of The Final Edition Radio Hour was performed by Darby Worley, Antoo Chell, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Kevin Janis, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. It was written by Barry Lank, John Marshall, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. Special thanks to Scooter of KPFT in Houston, along with Joe Dixon, for their submission of Dozens, as well as Car is Plowed, written by Scooter. Get on over to thefinaledition.com for more sizzling satire with teeth, articles, and past radio programs and pictures. It's a magical world awaiting you. Run along. The Final Edition Radio Hour was produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra and edited and engineered by Greg Russ. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition, LLC. Copyright 2013.